Hello, 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 everybody. I am Johnny Christ, and this is Drinks with Johnny. Thanks so much for checking out the podcast. And a special thank you to all the essential workers and frontliners out there doing their best to keep us healthy and safe. On this week's episode of Drinks with Johnny, I am joined by the bassist of The Used, Jeffa. This guy is incredible. If you don't know already, The Used has a new record out. It's called Heartwork, and it is fucking incredible. If you haven't already, go check it out. I cannot speak higher about this record. It is so good. It's got a little bit of everything. It's energetic, it's heavy, it's poppy, it sounds great, the production is great, the songwriting is unparalleled. I am not just putting it over because he's on my show. I'm telling you, as a Used fan, as a fan of music, this is a really good record that you need to go check out if you haven't already. I've been a fan of The Used since I first saw them back on the Warped Tour. When we toured together, we get a little bit into that. Back in 2003, their energy was off the charts. Bert used to jump off the huge speaker truss and just out into the crowd. It was incredible, and the songwriting was, you know, backed it up so well. This new record, man, I gotta say, is just, it takes it to a whole other level for me, and specifically. Getting into it with Jeffa about his bass parts on this new record. I mean, he has done a phenomenal job filling in the bass position on this record. He's done some really cool stuff. I mean, he's always done cool stuff. He's honestly one of my favorite contemporary bassists right now in the world. And it's so cool. We had a great chat. We dive into it on almost a track-by-track kind of conversation on the process of this new record, Heartwork, which is out now. And it's so fun to dive into it with another bassist and have a conversation that, you know, might go over a few people's heads or not. I don't know. But yeah, getting to talk to a fellow bassist was awesome. Jeffa actually lives off the grid in Hawaii. He had to use data for this and was just on his phone. So the audio isn't the greatest quality, but we did our best to clean it up. And yeah, I mean, again, I cannot speak higher about this record. If you haven't already, go check it out. It's absolutely phenomenal. At the end, I'm actually going to play you one of my favorite tracks from this record. So go ahead, listen to this, enjoy this. We get into everything that we can, past and present. And it's just fun to hang out with my friend again virtually and get in a nice little chat. So without further ado, I give you Jeffa of The Used. Hey, what's up, everybody? On this episode of Drinks with Johnny, I am joined by Jeff of The Used. How you doing over there, brother?
Great, man. How about you?
I'm good. You know, just living that quarantine life. I'm hunkered down here in Huntington Beach, California. I know you're out there in Hawaii at your place, right?
Yeah. Just hanging out.
Being
in the sun.
Yeah, you've been living out there, kind of off the grid for quite a while. Like, how has this new pandemic really changed your life?
You know, I'm kind of an introvert. And kind of a, I don't say loner is maybe not the right word, but I was an only child growing up, so I'm used to not being around people, you know?
Okay.
So this for me, it's, I'm really just hanging out with my wife and my dog, and not much has changed as far as that goes, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah, I figured when I hear, you know, you're gonna have to do a Zoom from your phone because you don't have Wi-Fi at your house, I was like, well, then the pandemic probably hasn't changed much for him.
Yeah. Wi-Fi, don't get me wrong, but
yeah, no. But it looks like you're in a gorgeous place there. I mean, I'm only able to see this via Zoom, as they said.
Oh yeah, it's cozy.
Yeah, man, that looks gorgeous. So let's get into the new record, man. Heartwork. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, we put a lot of work into this one. I mean,
when were you tracking this record? I mean, I know you've probably been. This is the first release from Canyon, right? That was in 2017.
Yeah. After that record, we kind of went through a little bit. We got a new guitar player. You know, things changed it up. We did. I would say we did about a year and maybe a little over a year and a quarter of writing.
Okay.
And we wouldn't like straight write. You know, of course, we would write on tour, and then we'd come back, and he had a little studio at his house, so we'd meet up in LA, and then go down to his house because he has all the studio gear. Yeah. And we jam at his place and kind of figure out a couple ideas. And then we decided we're going to record with Feldman.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about that because this is the first time you've worked with Feldman since, what was it, like the second record? Trying to blank on it now.
In Love and Death. Yeah, no worries.
Love and Death. Love and Death. I know these things are just, you know, draw a blank. It's all good.
No, it's all good. Dude, I don't, honestly, if we go through song titles, I probably wouldn't remember most of our song titles. Just, it happens, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm the same way with Avenged. Yeah. Like, someone asked me, what was the name of that record? I'm like, I don't know, dude.
Yeah. We actually worked with Feldman, I think the one before The Canyon.
Oh, okay.
Which, again, I'm drawing a blank on the title of that right now. But yeah, we worked with him on and off, you know, and so this time going back in, we had all this, we were prepared, right? We had all these songs that we were excited about, and we got in the studio, and we decided to scrap it all and just start over, which is kind of scary. Yeah,
that's
kind of
super scary. You scrapped the whole thing? Whose idea was that? Did you guys just, like, come in and Feldman was just like, it's not there?
No, I think it was just the vibe. You know, when we went back in with Feldman again, there was this weird, because we like we were talking about, we've recorded Feldman a lot, and and after that last record, I can go to details about that last record. It was crazy. It took us like months to record that record. It was really skimming through it really quick. All the drums were not to a click, so the whole record wasn't to a click. It was there was a delay on the snare, so the songs kind of breathed. You know, it's how we did it with Ross Robinson. Ross Robinson is awesome. He's one of coolest dudes you'll ever meet.
I'll definitely reach out to him.
God, he is so cool, man. But recording without a click track was interesting. I'm not the greatest at click. It's not my thing. I didn't grow up with click, that, you know, practicing click. But anyway, recording with a delay to the snare sets a click. You know what I mean? It's like you know, so it kind of breathes and it'll flow in and out depending how the drummer plays. So it lets the song have a little bit more soul to it. So anyway, we don't need to talk about that record, but the point of that is...
No, let's get into all of it, man. I've got you here for a while. I know you ain't got nothing better to do.
I don't have shit to do. I got to mow. After recording that, I mean, we put a lot of effort into that record. We got all these backup singers. There were some crazy people, too, some backup singers that we had. One of the dudes was in The Temptations.
Wow.
Wild. Yeah, there were some wild people in the studio at that time.
That's super cool.
But the record really didn't fully get finished, I would say. Okay. And then there was some other, we just ran out of time. We were trying it too much, I think is what it was. And so we didn't fully get finished with vocals, which is the weirdest thing ever.
I would never know that, like, listening to that record, that, like, it just wasn't finished. It's like, we ran out of time, let's put it out there.
Too many things got allocated to things that shouldn't have been. Gotcha. Allocated to, if that makes sense. Yeah
but, well, real quick though, like you touched on that one, and then this one gets scrapped right before you go into right as you get to the track lane portion, which for me, I wouldn't even know what to do with that, like all the preparation going up. I mean, I don't know what your guys' process is, but as an Avenged, we demo everything out to such detail that when we go into the studio to lay down the track, it's more or less 99% done, and we're just making the quality of the sound a little
That's
different.
Awesome. I love that. We've done that before, but I don't know. We also just like to experiment in a way, you know, like that. Like, we've been extremely prepared for some records, and some records we've had hardly any preparation. And this one, we wanted to do that hardly any preparation because we felt in like a magical place. I mean, that's kind of a cheesy word to use, you know, like some kind of wizardry, but we were there and we felt good and we were like vibing. We were with Feldman again, but this time with Feldman, it felt like we were coming back to like a family member. It was different.
Yeah.
It was like returning to like a long lost brother or something, you know? I mean, I don't have a brother, but you know what I'm saying? Close as I can get.
Yeah, I mean, you know the analogy though. I mean, it's okay to use analogies.
Yeah.
You don't have to know everything, you know? No, that's really wild though. So you guys got it after everything is scrapped. What's the process on this new record, and how long does it take you to fully record it and get it ready?
Yeah, this time going to the studio, it was really interesting. We kind of just let things be. We'd come up with an idea, like somebody guitar line, vocal line, bass line, drum line, just some idea that we would have as like a structure part, right? And then around that, we would kind of blend it together with other ideas, like sort of what's to say? What am I saying here? I'm kind of losing my train of thought a little bit. Sorry. Sorry.
At least you did that spin on your phone, so it makes it all make sense somehow.
It all makes sense now. Anyway.
So you're saying you start with like a bass or drum part a lot of the times here, and then you're starting to blend with probably some guitar ideas or is.
Yeah. So we'd come up with a basic structure off of whatever idea we have, you know, like adding like a drum loop or just some other kind of loop to, you know, some kind of melody loop to have the song go through. And then we'd kind of pick and choose parts through there. It was kind of just ad-libbing until we fit what needs to be there. It's kind of like starting in the middle of a song almost, you know?
Okay.
And then once we had parts that were solid, we tried to get vocals done. And everybody, this is the cool thing on this record, is that everybody was just throwing out ideas for every part. You know, bass lines, guitar lines, like drum lines, vocal lines, like words. Like we were just spewing shit out as a whole. You know, like less That's focus cool. on the individual and more focus on the entire, you know?
And this is the first time you guys done a writing process like this?
We've done some similar ideas to where we've gone in the studio before and just kind of jammed it and kind of come up with, you know, I think this way is a lot better, you know, just being as a whole and everybody coming together and recording a record as, I mean, of course we're a group and we're a band, but coming together as a group that way, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I tend to find, and it's the same in Avenged for certain albums, there's usually one or two main writers for that said record, and then everyone kind of hones in closer to the end. Have you guys gone through that process before too, or have you always been the kind of band that writes, you know, pretty much 100% together?
You know, it's changed. There's been times in the past where someone will come with a majority of an idea, but they won't have the ability to play like the drum line or expand on the bass line or like the melody, you know what I mean? Like the vocal melody. So it's Bert's usually, as far as our band goes, Bert's like the king of melodies and the king of lyrics. And cause he's obsessed with like lyrical content and like vocals and words. He's obsessed with that idea and tying them together, you know, and I'm not, so I'll put my two cents in, but I'm not going to have the same pull he would as far as that goes.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and it's been working. So why mess with it?
Yeah. Why mess with it? Yeah.
No,
but
that's
as far
cool.
as like, oh yeah, as far as like ideas for other instruments, like Bert's really good at piano, so he's good at knowing where like bass or like guitar should go, you know, or like sort of tying that together, you know. And I can't play piano at all. I can pass as a like messing around on it, but you know what I'm saying. I don't have that knowledge.
I got a piano in my house that I'm pretty sure like I go over and play like Lizzo on it real quick, and that's
which is fun. I love Lizzo. So that's
It's the only thing I can transcribe. It's pretty basic, right?
Yeah, I'm the same. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's dive into like a little bit of bass player to bass player thing here on specifically on the new record. Congratulations on this thing. You guys, I think it's one of the best, you know, albums you guys have put out, to be.
Oh, dude, I really truthful. Appreciate that, honestly, man.
Yeah, it's super cool. Let's just go through the kind of track by track almost. The first couple of songs are solid. They're energetic. They're, you know, you're what you would want when you first throw on a used record. And then when it really starts to get interesting for me is probably, it's the third song. I have it pulled up right here. So that I don't mess up with the wrong names here. But
I'm going to mess those up too.
Actually. Yeah, but like the third track is Big, the wannabe track.
Okay.
And there's a bass part in there that kind of reminds me of like a Flea-esque thing. There's like the 16th notes going.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And it's just kind of dancing around a little bit. How did that song come up, and what do you use as inspiration? I guess is what I'm asking for bass lines. Because you've always been an incredible bass player. I've always noticed that since we did Warped Tour together those many years ago. So I mean, and I think.
Dude.
Every record that I've heard you do, you expand upon your bass playing from the last record. It's never the same. Like,
oh,
even
man.
As good as you are, it's getting better and better each time. Do you feel that the same way? Or?
That's That's Goosebumps. I don't know if you can see him right there.
I really appreciate that. I really mean it. That's really nice, man.
Yeah, I practice a lot. Like I said, I'm a nerd. I'm a loner. So there's only a few things in life I'm really good at. You know, being alone is one of them. Maybe the other.
Crushing quarantine.
Yeah, no, really, though. Everybody's like home, like, get me out of here. I'm like, well, do I have to?
That's awesome.
But yeah, big,
so you play a lot. You're sitting around noodling a lot, do you look to other bass players, contemporary ones that like you're like, oh, that's really cool. I need to add that to my repertoire, or is it more just this is who I am and this is how I'm gonna play?
It's a little bit of both. I taught myself most of my life. I taught myself, you know, and which is good and bad. I think you need to really understand yourself and how you play and how your body works. You know what I mean, as far as a musician goes. But lessons are good to understand the basics and even broaden the basics, you know. So lately I've been kind of getting deeper into like stuff I should have known like 20 years ago, you know, which is, it's good and bad. I think it's good, but.
No, that's probably good. That sounds like a lesson I should probably take to you before we get the next record.
Dude, we'll talk. We'll talk later. I'll give you some ideas.
All right, stuff. Cool. Yeah, give
and
you some places
we should
to
trade.
Look.
We should trade bass ideas too, which I'd appreciate.
Yeah, let's do it. We could even do it right now. Let's move on and talk a little bit more about the record.
Dude, as far as inspirations go, I look to like a lot of just ideas. Like I like, you know, James Jamerson, who's probably one of my favorite bass players of all time. Mm-hmm. He's that soul background, you know, he's got that. I like repeating patterns of stuff, you know, like, what am I thinking of? I forget his name, the dude that played for James Brown for so many years.
Okay.
Like, I love James Brown. I love
that's
that
rad.
Kind of like.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that and you can hear it specifically on this record. I can hear a lot of R&B influence when you like break everything down. Like the note choice and the rhythm is fucking, it's awesome. I love R&B bass playing too. I mean, I love R&B period. I love all music, but like, I think that's a huge, huge pickup right there.
You know, have you ever listened to like Afro-Cuban? Like there's this dude that's one of my favorites. His name's Ebo Taylor.
Okay. I'm not familiar.
Oh man. He put out a record called Love and Death, which is funny because we have one called In Love and Death, and there's no relation to it at all. It just
happens.
Really interesting. I even had that record on at my wedding. I was so obsessed with it.
That's rad. That's super cool. Well, let's take it down a couple that then. After Wannabe, you got this track that has what I describe as an earbender moment. And I think it's Wow, I Hate This Song, which I absolutely love, by the way.
Nice.
That song is just awesome. The lyrical content on it, too, is obviously hilarious. But then the musicality in the song, like I said, you got that earbender moment where it drops down to like a dropped A, I believe. Is that an A? Or
yeah,
is that...
I think it is. Yeah, I think it's an A. Yeah, it's a baritone, and we tuned it down, so it's a downtuned baritone.
It's a downtuned baritone. Oh shit!
Yeah, I think it's an A. Yeah.
It drops, but then the melody somehow stays similar to the rest of the song. Like it's still super poppy, but then you got this really heavy drop tune. I don't know. I thought it like bends my ear that when I hear it, like every time for the first like couple of seconds, I'm like, whoa. And then it comes in. Did you ever have that when you guys were first putting that together? Or did it sound normal to you? You're just like, oh yeah, that's where it needs to go.
It was our guitar player that just, I can't remember exactly how it happened, but what I'm remembering right now, I think I remember, you know, is we had, Bert wanted to do some kind of major melody over a minor melody kind of a thing to where it was like how that la, 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 you know, it kind of goes up and kind of it keeps positive and you're thinking it's a positive thing, but then there's this negative dark undertone to it.
Yeah.
And Joey picked up a guitar. He was just playing a riff over it. Mm-hmm. And then we put that baritone and plugged it in and he tuned it down to like you were saying, like A sharp or A, I can't remember. And played that riff over it. Like, that's it, dude. That's so dark, you know?
Yeah.
I think he recorded quickly, too. It was like one take of, oh, yeah, that's it. Let's keep that. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I that was a moment when I was listening through for the first time. I was like, that's fucking awesome. Because you hear it. It is the major over the minor. We've done that a couple of times in Avenged, too. And the first couple of times you do it, it's kind of like, oh, this is weird. Like it doesn't sound normal, you know?
Yeah, is that right? Shouldn't we be doing that? If you know the rules, you can break them. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to like taking lessons and actually learning your instrument a little bit. I was self-taught too. I still am, obviously. Nice. And I haven't gone back to learn too much. Like, I know enough to name notes, but that's
dude, you're rocking though. That's what matters. You're putting your heart into it. You're putting your soul into it. And you're rocking. Awesome.
It's fun. It's really fun. Okay. Then we get into the next time when I went, wow, on the record listening through is the Cathedral.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden you got these heavy songs with these awesome melodies, and then you drop something that sounds like it should be on the Weeknd's record. how did that song come about? What was the idea there?
The Weeknd one, is that the almost Jamiroquai sounding?
Yeah, the Cathedral Bell. Cathedral Bell is what it's called.
Oh, Cathedral Bell. Yeah, Cathedral Bell might be my favorite song on the record, honestly. And I don't know if there's bass on it. I know it recorded, at least I recorded bass over the synth, because it's a synth doing the like that downscale thing.
Uh-huh.
I recorded bass over it just in case, but
not sure if they
I don't think it's needed. You know, that synth part kind of drives it, and it kind of, you know, I don't know what we're gonna do live. I'm gonna have to figure that out. But
you're gonna have to get you're gonna have to be one of those bass players that can have the little sub synth you could play with your right hand over here.
There you go. Or get just like a one octave guitar and we're at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. There's a million things you could do. Or you could just take a break during that song. That's what I do. We have a song, Fiction, and it doesn't have any bass in it, and I just stand in the back and hang out and listen, you know?
That's the best part. Go somewhere, get a drink, you know?
Yeah, especially you as an introvert. I'm sure you'd just love that.
Oh, totally.
you did just mention a drink. Are you still drinking? I know Bert stopped drinking many years ago.
Yeah, Bert stopped like 7 years ago, which is one of the best things that's ever happened to him as far as that, you know. As far as me, last time I drank was Christmas, and I just haven't since then.
Oh, okay. It hasn't been. Yeah, but you didn't necessarily seem to have any kind of problems with it or anything. It was just kind of like, when I want it, you know.
Yeah, I'm right now. I'm just over it.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Either way,
I never really go through the completely over it thing, but I set some boundaries here and there. That's my way to go.
I like that. I appreciate that. You know, it's almost like I've been drinking in so long now. I don't know when I'm going to do it again. You know, it's like,
yeah. You're like, I don't know if it ever is going to sound like a good idea again. You actually probably feel good. Your skin's probably all healthy and shit. Like,
oh, I feel awesome, man. I feel great.
Don't rub it in, Jeff.
Oh, dude, you don't even know. You'd never believe it.
There was another song that I wanted to ask about a bass part, too, and then we'll get into these featured things that I didn't see. There's a song that it's 1984, I believe, and at the very end, there's just this one chord progression that lasts about, like, 10 seconds, and it's very, like, R&B meets GNR Use Your Illusions, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's like a piano part, right?
Yeah, it's like a piano part, and you have this really, I love, you know, the rest of the time, you're super busy on the bass. A lot of times on most of your records, you're super busy, which I love busy bass playing. And then on this one, it's not only is that, it's also extremely tasty, too. And this part stuck out to me because I was like, oh, that was like 10 seconds. I want to hear some more of that, like, because... Your note choice was so rad. It was like a little mini bass solo almost.
Oh yeah, awesome. Yeah, man, I love that part. That part almost didn't make it. I think as a whole, it kind of came around. I was hearing it in my head because that ending part. We did a couple of those. There's a couple of enders that are just like piano and vocals. And actually, the two songs that made the record that are just like snippet. They're like in between songs, like interludes, or I don't know what you'd call it.
Yeah,
those used to be. Those were full songs at one point. We actually cut those down just to be those interludes because the rest of the song sucked. But
well, that's a good little tidbit for the kids at home who are learning to write. If you're honest with yourself and you have 1 minute of a good song and three extra minutes of dog shit. Just make it in an interlude.
Yeah, it worked out. We could have kept rehashing it and try to fix the song, but the parts were so tasty, we just wanted to leave it. And we really like this idea of like a just like a part C. You know, you have like a song, and then all of a sudden another part that comes in that's the vocals and the melody maybe are the same, but the music is so different, you know? And that part came around with me just sitting down on my bass while we were playing the piano part and trying to get vocals down. I heard that melody. And so then when I finally had it, I went up and recorded it when it was my turn or whatever. It turned out to fit.
It comes, it definitely comes out of nowhere, and it's gone as soon as it's there. But for me, I was just like, wow, that was beautiful. That was beautiful, oh, man.
I appreciate that.
So then, before we hit the record button, I was telling you that our mutual friend, Sean, which the last time we saw each other was at his wedding, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That was like 2 years ago now, man.
Was it? It was.
I think so. Holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's your manager and one of my really good friends. And he sent me over the record before it came out, and I was listening to it. And then I didn't know that there was these extra tracks at the end that were going to be released. He didn't send me those. So I'm a little ill-prepared on those. But you want to go through those real quick? I mean, you got guys from Blink on there. And what are those songs vibes? Like, were those some just extra content kind of stuff that didn't fit with the rest of the songs necessarily, or you just wanted to have some special shit with some friends?
It was just kind of random, honestly. We got Blow Me, which had Jason from Fever 333.
Okay, perfect. All right, yeah, Blow Me is the second song on the record that has Jason Allen Butler on.
Yeah, and Jason's awesome. Him as a human being is a stand-up human being, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Him as a person, he's a great great singer, great vocalist, so much energy, you know, I could kiss his ass all day, but he's fucking awesome, you know? And having him come down was kind of random. It was like we had a part for a song that was open, and we felt like it needed something heavy or something gritty to it, like vocally. And so John even mentioned it. John's like, what about Jason? Have Jason come down. You're like, oh, yeah, dude, like that's perfect, right? He came down, wrote his own lyrics, blasted that part out in like an hour. Like scram, I've never heard. And the weird thing about him is he did all the screamy, heavy stuff first and then did singy stuff after. You know, normally blow people's voices.
Yeah.
He was screaming his ass off and then did all the singing parts. But his voice was perfect. It was really crazy to see.
That's super interesting. Yeah. I've never seen that before. Every time it's right? You got to sing all the clean stuff first and then go blow it out at the end.
Yeah. Not with him. No, it's crazy. He's got some lines. After that, we did... let's see, I'll do the one. We did Travis Barker came down and jammed with us. And that one, actually, the bass tone on that song is my favorite tone for clean tone on bass that I've had in a long time.
Oh, dude. I like it. Again, now I got to check it out. I feel like, you know.
I like a really round, because I'm really particular about my bass tone, and it's not what most people like. I listen to it, which is odd for a lot of people, because they want that, like that crisp brightness, and I'm trying to kill that crisp brightness. You know, I want like a round pop. If I'm making sense, I'm probably making sense to you, but people that don't play bass, I mean, like,
it's only going to be bass players that watch this one. So it's got like five people are going to watch this one.
Yeah, totally.
No, but it makes sense to me. Yeah, I absolutely, and I love it. How are you getting that tone? What bass are you using? What amp? What preamp? What are you using these days?
You know, it's changed a lot. Minus one thing, I use Aguilar's amps, and I've used Aguilar for like 15 years probably, and I've used the same different types of strings, but I've used the same company, DR. I've used them for like 15 years too, but
okay.
My evolution to like flat wound was over like almost accidental. Like I started playing like coated strings for a while, and I was just trying to deaden my tone every time. I was trying to make it like heard. But it's hard to get overdrive grindy, but dead too at the same time. It's like difficult. A hard, you know what I'm saying? And so my whole
usually
life
need
I've been
a little
fighting.
Bit of a high end on there to get that rasp. I got you. Yeah,
that's always been my problem, trying to fight that, you know. But I kind of figured it out live, at least I figured it out. But yeah, as far as like records in the past, I've used amps, and I've used like my exact gear I want to use, my heads, my pedals, everything, you know. This record I kind of didn't worry about it. I just let the engineers and John kind of get the tone I wanted from what they had, you know, and the tone I want, you know. But I used, I have a Fender 5 Jazz that I use for every recording. There's something about it. It's not like it's, you know, it's just I got it from the factory. It's just happens to be the best sounding bass I have for some reason, you know.
No, that's weird how that happens. I have like a ton of basses. I mean, for the most part, I use my custom because I went that route and kind of made what I wanted and tailored to myself. But
totally get that.
But then sometimes you're absolutely right. Like I'll pull up an old 70s P bass or something like that, and I'm like, for that track specifically, it just sounds better. You know,
I totally get that. Those old P basses too. Something about the wood. I don't know what it is. Something about the time and the wood. Yeah.
I think it's all the smoke that was being done in the studio, and it somehow got into the wood.
Yeah. Seriously though, maybe that's it. Yeah.
Who knows?
It's wild.
So you had Travis, and then you had Mark come in too. Did Mark just sing, or did you give him your jazz bass?
He just sang. He made fun of it because there's 5 strings on it. So.
Oh yeah, he doesn't mess with that.
No, too many strings. It's a guitar, he thought. But okay, Mark's awesome. Honestly, I mean, Travis is awesome. Such a great drummer. It was so much fun playing bass to that with Travis, you know.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then Mark coming down. Mark, he's great. He sang on all the choruses. It was great hearing him and listening to his ideas because he was kind of jamming with us, you know. And he's awesome dude. He's a super intelligent, awesome dude, you know.
Yeah, I mean that band, you could see through their success that they're not dummies, you know.
Not at all. Yeah, they're definitely not dummies.
I haven't had the pleasure, aside from just like in passing, maybe at like Musique and stuff like that, where you say, "Oh, hey, what's up?" in a big crowd, but I haven't like
totally
got to like sit down to talk to any of those dudes yet. But it's on my list. It's on my list.
I'm kind of similar. I'm not an outgoing, "Hey guys, what's up?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I know him. Maybe he'll see me. Maybe he'll say hi."
<You know? laughs> That goes back to your introvertness. See.
Exactly. Yeah. Next song we did was I actually slap on this song, which I didn't normally do, which is kind of funny. I'm not a slap bass player, so I slap on that one with Mark.
That's awesome. Do you still use flat ones for this slap?
Yeah. Kind of weird.
That is kind of weird. I don't think I've heard that before. I'm really interested in that.
It's that same brightness I'm not trying to get. I can still make it bright, but it cuts. There's this like tinny tone that if I hear it, if you ever, you know, I don't know, it's like this for me, but if I ever play live and I'm playing terrible, it's like tinny sound that I can't stop thinking about. It's terrible. So I will fuck up complete shows. I'll ruin, like, you wouldn't believe it, like live recordings, because I'm like paying attention to the stupid tone that I can't ignore for some reason. But
and you can't do anything about too.
Yeah,
I've had those nights where some reason it's in your ears. I assume you use in ears like these.
Oh yeah,
molded.
Yeah, I got some in right now.
Yeah, so those, for whatever reason, you're on a different night, you got a different, we always had the same monitor board and everything, but for some reason you're in a different room or something, and it just to you, it sounds great out in the crowd, but just to you, it sounds a little different every night, and it can be maddening. That's why I drink, though. I start off and I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to play the way I know how and not pay attention to that tone in my ears.
Yeah, that helps me. Yeah, but that's why it's been weird not drinking. For that reason.
It's the only reason. Only reason.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought it. Go ahead, man.
Oh, yeah. We did another song with... So this song was interesting. We did a song called The Lottery, okay? There's this outro, like, almost like a bridge part to it that we kept messing with. We had this song completely done except for the bridge. We kept going over it again, and Bert was like, it's not heavy enough. So then we'd try something else, and he's like, it's not heavy enough. Because as growing up, we all grew up as like hardcore kids, you know, like Old Cave In, like Converge, like Coalesce, like all those kind of bands. That was like me and Bert, like that was like our thing, you know, like we loved that heavy hardcore stuff, you know. And so we were trying to get a song that kind of had that vibe to it, you know, a little bit, which is weird for the Used, you know, obviously. But
that was kind of like a lot on this record, though. Like I pointed out a few times, I'm like, you guys went a little heavier than I've heard.
That's how I feel, too. We kind of did it. at least got it through somehow. But yeah, we worked on this part over and over and over again, try to get heavier and heavier and heavier. We finally got it to where we want it. And then we wanted to have this guy from this other band come and sing on it. Knocked Loose, which is an awesome band. I've heard Knocked Loose before, but they're
not familiar.
Incredible. I'll check them out. It sounds like that old Cave-In, like that old hardcore stuff that you're like,
okay,
you know, but we were trying to get him to come out and sing on it, but he was kind of too busy. They were touring constantly, you know? And so it just wouldn't line up, and we ran out of time, and we needed somebody else. And I've never met this guy before, but his name's Caleb Shormo from a band called Beartooth, right?
Okay, Beartooth's awesome. I know Beartooth, yeah.
Yeah, and our guitar player knew him and Feldman knew him. And so they called him up, and he was into it to come down and jam on the record.
That's cool.
And his part is so good on that song. It's like one of the highlights of that song. But it's amazing that we got him, and he fit in so perfectly, you know?
That's so rad. I'm glad to hear it. I'm liking all these collabs, though. Like, honestly, it's good to see in rock, too. That it's not just a hip-hop thing anymore. We can do features, yeah, too. It's pretty cool. It only takes us 10, 15 years later, but...
You know. I know, right?
I do think it's great. It is great for music to see this. We are like different avenues of camaraderie and help. Because I don't know if you remember this, like, but for a while, like in the early 2000s, it wasn't in the rock world. It really wasn't cool to like help each other out. It was more about we're battling against these other bands for supremacy in a lot of respects.
Yeah, I kind of got that vibe, which is sad. You know, I felt like. I like the camaraderie. We're all in it together. We're all trying to win. You know, there's no like first place. It's you know, it's all the same. We're all trying to figure out music, you know?
Yeah, and it's so weird that that happened for a while. Dude, do you have a green Hydro Flask? Like the Army, literally the same color. That's
right. Bass player thing.
Bass player thing, for sure.
It's my favorite color of all time is this color.
I don't even know if it's my favorite color. I have like several of these different Hydro Flasks. I just happen to have this one right now.
I do too. I have two right here, and they're both the same color.
That's awesome. Now, that's neither here nor there, but that is a pretty funny coincidence.
It's a bass thing.
Yeah, it's a bass thing. So we talked about like coming up together, doing those Warped Tours back in the day. I remember watching you guys on stage. Even like, you guys were more on main stage by this point. But a few times you'd be on the Maurice. We'd be primarily on Maurice, and then a few times
that's right.
on the main stage back in like 2003, I want to say.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think that's exact, right?
Yeah. I remember watching you guys with all that energy and Bert jumping off the speakers into the crowd. You guys were just doing nutty shit. I mean, it was really cool. Over the years, you've still been a great live band, and I got to ask the question now, like, you got a new record out. The timing, was this always the time you were going to release the record? And you're like, well, it's ready. Let's just do it anyway. Was there any discussion to postpone it? Because, you know, the likelihood of shows coming back for any kind of normalcy or anything like that is likely a year out at this point.
Yeah. So, yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We had this exact date, the 24th, set for a long time. And we had already had two singles out. I don't know if you'd call it singles anymore. I don't know what they were. We released two songs.
Mm-hmm.
And we already had plans. This whole setup is going on. We were supposed to have a record release party in LA. That got canned. We were supposed to have a tour with a band through this whole time. That would probably be over right now, actually. We had a lot lined up, which I'm sure you did too. There was a lot lined up and a lot at stake.
Yeah, a lot of things changed. You know, we've been working on stuff, everyone. I started doing this show about a year ago, and ever since, like, people are still going like, hey, when's the new record? Because I started it kind of while we were writing. And I'm like, well, you know, first of all, we take a long time to write records. I don't know if you guys remember this, but we take
that's
a minute
good,
to
though.
Write
records. that's a good thing, honestly.
Yeah. And then now with this happening, we're kind of just flipping our thumbs with what we got, seeing like, what's the next step here? We got to kind of wait it out now and see what the next step is. But so you guys just, you're like, well, this is what we had planned. Let's go for it and see where the chips will lie, I guess, right?
Yeah, we kind of felt like there wasn't much choice. We had so much going on. We had a bunch of video ideas coming out. We released that Cathedral Bell song. We released that with like a lyric video. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing about that song, If we released that at any other time, it would be an awesome song. But if we released, and I don't mean that, don't take that as like an ego thing. I'm just saying, I like that song. So that's why I think it's an awesome song.
It's okay to be in love with your children, I think.
Okay, yeah. Well put. Yeah, so we released that song around, I think it was a month ago. I can't remember exact times. But the cool thing about that song, releasing it during quarantine, mm-hmm. is that the lyrical idea is kind of loosely based on being trapped. And so being trapped at home and hearing the song about being trapped is sort of a weird coincidence, you know? And
yeah.
And I think releasing that any other time wouldn't have the same impact. So just for my sake alone, even though we're not touring and even though this record came out in the middle of a quarantine, having that song come out during a quarantine makes me kind of happy, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you're it's by sheer coincidence, but sometimes when those stars align, man, it gives you a certain feeling about the art that you're putting out, right? And I think that's what you're talking about, and I would completely agree.
Nice.
So that's super rad. That's super coincidental. I love it. So wait, you guys are back on you're on Feldman's label though, right? Is that what label you guys are on now?
Yeah, we joined with we joined with them. Forgot their label name. Oh God, don't tell Feldman.
You know, that's funny. I'm absolutely gonna tell him. No, this is
big
a funny
noise.
Story. He's
big
coming
noise.
On the show next Thursday.
So yeah,
before
that's right,
this
that's
one
right.
airs, he's coming on the show and I'm gonna have a chat with him about that. I am definitely gonna have to mention that, Jeff. I'm sorry that's happening.
No, I don't mind it at all. He wouldn't care. It's Big Noise. We joined with Big. I almost said New Noise, and then I started thinking Refused, and I was like, "Oh God, that's not it." And I'm gonna be stuck. But no, it's we joined with Big Noise is the name of the label, and so far
that?
Just God, because we were with Hopeless for a long time. Before that, we were with Reprise, Warner Reprise, and then we were with them for like 10 years. But honestly, joining with Big Noise, they've so far I've done more press on this record than I've done for. Maybe any record. And maybe it's because everybody's bored and stuck at home that they're just shooting press at me. You know, we'll make the bass player do it, you know?
Oh, I always get that one. Around.
Yeah, I don't want to do it.
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
You're an introvert, so it'd probably bum you out. I'm an extrovert, so I actually don't mind.
Okay.
I'm like, yeah, let's have a chat, man. Let's do this.
That's cool. Yeah. I honestly don't mind if it's like, this is great. I would do this all the time. I don't have to be anywhere. I can be here and kind of in my safe spot, my safe zone.
Yeah.
Usually my safe zone's holding a bass, but you know, which I'm just pretending. But yeah, this tons of press for this record. And Big Noise have been so awesome. Worldwide, we don't get a lot of love in certain countries.
Okay.
And it seems like this record alone, they've been pushing us in all these new countries that we haven't toured or we haven't played in a long time, or just happens this record happens to be working in, you know?
Well, I mean it I guarantee it has a little bit to do with the content too. It's a really good record. But also, what are those countries you speak of, though, that aren't the biggest Used fans at the moment?
Let's see. We did pretty good in Germany for a minute, and we haven't had that much luck. We hit it constantly for a while. For some reason, us in Europe, it's just not working. It hasn't worked, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This record seems to be hitting pretty hard in Germany, at least, which is awesome. And as far as... I did an hour special. It was just me for an hour taking over a radio in Colombia, and we've never played Colombia, so I hope it did well.
Dude, that's rad. You got
to.
I mean,
it was pretty
Colombia's
cool.
I haven't been to Colombia, but I heard it's awesome. So
I'd love to go. Yeah.
Yeah. You get those are the kind of countries that you hear like beautiful and all this kind of stuff, and you're like, oh, I can't wait to play there. It's like getting a paid vacation in a lot of ways.
No, totally, man. Yeah. Some of that. I love traveling. I love touring. So I feel like most of the time when I'm out of the country, I feel like I'm on a vacation. You know, sometimes people don't like touring like certain states or countries or whatnot, you know, and I feel like the entire time I'm just in some kind of weird heaven thing.
Yeah. That's interesting from an introvert. I feel the same way, but that's because I like getting out. Well, I guess there's different ways to get out, right? You can get out just by yourself or like with your wife or something and doing that.
Totally.
I'm like, let's go to the bars. Let's go to the clubs. Let's go.
See, I'm like loner walking around by myself with my headphones on and like somewhere in Europe or Brazil or something, you know.
And just in love with it. You're just walking by.
Just happy.
Yeah.
Finding a restaurant, you know. Yeah.
The restaurants out in Europe are awesome. Especially some reason during the summertime, even though they have the same food, but like when you're in Europe in the summertime and you're sitting out at the cafe and getting some good food, it's like,
it's awesome.
Makes those days off a lot more fun.
Oh, yeah. No, totally.
Yeah. Since this album came out in quarantine, I know you said you're doing a lot of press. What else are you doing to pass the time? I know you're a big horror movie fan. Is there new ones that I need to check out that I haven't seen yet?
I'm a super nerd. You know, I spend too much time not playing bass by getting sidetracked from other things.
Okay.
So, I've been watching tons of horror movies. I just watched, so do you remember Suspiria?
Yeah.
Might be saying, from like the old 70s, like, kind of culty film.
Yeah, someone brought that up to me the other day and I was
did they?
It took me a second to remember and I was like, I have seen it because I went and looked at it. I'm like, I have seen this movie. I don't remember much about it though.
They just made a new, like an Amazon version. If you have Amazon Prime, they just made a new one. And it's like an hour longer and it's awesome. Actually, I just finished watching it today and it's I want to say it's better because it's updated, but not always. Remakes are not always better. Sometimes they downgrade them, but this one I thought was really good.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all the music is done by Tom York too, which is wild. It's worth watching. It's dark.
Okay. I mean, I like horror movies too, and most of them tend to be pretty dark, so I'll check it out.
Yeah, fair enough. Well said.
And not all of them. Not all of them are creative. I'm a big fan of the horror movies that make you chuckle too. Like my favorite
The
monsters is Freddy Krueger because
I
mean he was awesome in the first one. It was definitely scary with Depp when he's killing Depp, and then but like a few movies later he's making these awesome puns while he's killing these kids and I'm like
this is
brilliant.
Yeah, did you ever get into like the Army of Darkness, Evil Dead?
Oh yeah,
you ever
big
seen any of
time.
Those
big
did
time.
You see the TV show the Ash versus Evil Dead?
I never watched. I always saw it pop up on like, it was on like A&E or whatever it was on.
It's
sci-fi,
so good.
And I didn't, I,
so good.
I just never got around to it. Unfortunately, my wife doesn't share a lot of the same movie choices that I do. So I miss
totally
out on stuff because you got to watch what she's going to watch too when you're going to sit down and watch something. You're out on the road for several months. I could watch then and then I come back home and now all the compromises start happening.
Totally get it. Yeah, my wife doesn't like horror movies either. It's too much for her.
So yeah, you gotta find it. She likes some horror movies. It's just some of when it gets when she likes the darker ones. See.
Oh.
So if I go to like the silly ones like Army of Darkness route, she's like, I don't care about this. I'm like, okay.
I get it. Okay. She likes dark. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know how that worked out. She also listens to like pop music. So
oh wow.
Like then predominantly pop. Doesn't even like Avenged Sevenfold. I don't even know why she's my wife.
Actually, my wife's similar. She listens to music that I feel like is way cooler than I could ever be. You know, like all my music taste comes from shit she's showing me. And I'm like, oh my God, I love that. What is that? She's like, oh, it's this Ethiopian jazz dude. Like, this might be my favorite music I've ever heard, you know?
That's so rad. I love that. Well, we're going to have a deeper conversation where we could do this again in person. I'll let you go. And hopefully, I wish you nothing but great success on this record. And hopefully, you guys get to play some of these songs live sooner than later because we'll all be looking forward to that.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. It was awesome talking to you, too.
Yeah, man. It's just good to see you again. Been too
definitely
long.
Good to see you.
Well,
yeah, definitely.
Well, let's not wait another 2 years for this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Hopefully in person if this quarantine never goes away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll see you then, brother. And thanks again. Oh, you're off the grid, so you probably don't. But do you have any social medias you want to pimp out right here?
I have the Instagram Virtual Jeffa that I don't ever go on.
Okay.
You know, and if I
but
do,
it's there.
I'll post a picture if I'm out in the field and I can get service. But other than that, you know, you can't really talk to me on it or anything. You can just look at a random picture. But if you want to look at some random picture, then it's Virtual Jeffa.
Okay.
But other than that, that's all I do.
Perfect.
No Facebook, perfect. No problem.
Yeah. But and you can find all the used socials pretty easy too, because you guys have all those.
Oh, yeah.
And the .coms. And you know, just type in The Used in a Google search, people. It's not that hard.
Totally. At The Used on Instagram or Twitter. I don't even know if we have a Twitter. Does anybody have a Twitter anymore? Yeah, I guess they do.
Yeah,
Trump
do.
Does, which sucks.
So you're saying all the wrong people have Twitter. I've got a Twitter for the show. Not personally. I would say horrible things on there, I'm sure.
Right? We all they don't like that.
All right, brother. Good talking to you. Well,
I'll hit you up
later.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. Thanks again.
And that'll just about do it for this week's edition of Drinks with Johnny. Thank you so much again for checking it out and listening to the end. We had a blast with this conversation. As I mentioned in it, I didn't hear those last five songs at the time that we had this conversation, but I since have gone back, obviously, and listened to the rest of them. They are incredible. The ones with Mark Hoppus, Travis Barker, all of them. I mean, they're really great songs. I'm a little upset with their manager, Sean, who's a good friend of mine, as well as myself for not having already listened to them before I had the chat with Jeffa, but I honestly cannot recommend this enough. Go back and listen to this record all the way through. I mean, top to bottom, this quite possibly could be my favorite Used record. I mean, the first one will always have a part in my heart from knowing them for so long and seeing their success and watching their trajectory. Just when they came onto the scene, it was just such a big record. And we were label buddies and the whole nine on Warped Tour together. But I have to say, this new record has it all for me. I couldn't be happier for the guys. Make sure you go follow and check out all their socials. I'm sure they got a lot of cool stuff coming up. It's quarantine times, so you're not going to find any tour dates at this time, I don't think. But hopefully they will be able to get back sooner than later, so you're not going to want to miss that. Make sure that you follow and check everything they got out. And hey, follow us at Drinks with Johnny. That's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. All the main ones. I think we have a TikTok coming out soon. I'm not sure what I'm going to do there yet. But go ahead and start following it. I'll figure it out later. also, subscribe to this podcast right here that you're listening to. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Leave me a comment. Tell me what you think of the show and maybe give me some guest ideas. Also, subscribe to us on the Drinks with Johnny YouTube channel. That's right. There is visuals to these conversations, if you didn't already know that. And we have our very own channel where I occasionally will go live. Actually, we do a Thirsty Thursday live and a Tuesday live at 5, Drinks with Johnny. That's been going on since quarantine has started. I'll probably start... only going live once a week after that. But there's a lot of cool stuff happening in Drinks with Johnny world. So make sure you go to drinkswithjohnny.com as well. Sign up for the newsletter so you don't miss out on what's going on. Our merch is now back open. So support the show. Show that you care. I got people working for me on this show. The money isn't going to little old Johnny Christ there. We have people that I'm paying regularly that are working very hard on this show to keep you guys entertained. So please just go support the show in every way you can. If you don't have any money, that's fine. Keep it. Just support the show by following and subscribing. That is more than enough. So please do that. And as I said at the top of the show, I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite songs on the record. I mean, there's so many I could have chose. But because of our conversation and we talked about the ear bender that this song has, I'm going to leave you guys with Wow, I Hate This Song from the new Used record, Heartwork. Listen to it and then go check out the whole rest of the record, okay? And let me know what you think about it, because I absolutely love this record. Until next week, as always, cheers.
Bad songs sneak up on me like a horror film. Every problem is another pill. We're all susceptible, we all know. Those bad songs, everything that's on the radio, makes me wanna fucking brush my skull, hurt myself literally. Time, here comes time. fuck, la la la, heard enough, la la la, holy fuck, I don't wanna sing along, la la la, make it stop, la la la, heard enough.